Would you please stand with me? Thank you for being here tonight. I'd like to turn your attention to Numbers, the 18th chapter. Numbers chapter 18, starting in verse number 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, Behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offering. The word heave there means to present or present of all of the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. This shall be thine of the most holy things, reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, and every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. In the most holy place shalt thou eat it. Every male shall eat it, it shall be holy unto thee. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all of the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them unto thee and to thy sons and to thy daughters with thee by a statute forever. Everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. So there's some prerequisites. You have to be clean in the house. All of the best of the oil, and all of the best of the wine, and of the wheat, and the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land, which they shall bring unto the Lord, shall be thine. Every one that is clean in thine house shall eat of it. And then verse 31, and ye shall eat it in every place, ye and your household, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. So God is saying, I've given you some gifts here by reason of the anointing. If you want to put it in today's vernacular, I have given you these gifts because you have received the Holy Ghost, the anointing. And it says, and ye shall eat it in every place, ye and your household, for it is your reward for service in the tabernacle of the congregation. So God is giving gifts to the church because of the Holy Ghost, because it is an ordinance that God has started way back with Aaron and his sons and their sons and so on. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the Word of God tonight. Touch it, Lord. Make it alive for each and every one of us. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I'd like to talk about reward for service, or maybe I'd entitle this, Did You Get Your Paycheck? God told Aaron, the high priest, I have given the charge of mine heave offering, or present, of all of the hallowed things. Here's the present. Here's the reward for your service in the tabernacle. And the high priest got special gifts that the rest of the congregation, the rest of the people never got because they ministered in the tabernacle. Now, today it would be you and I because we minister, and you have ministered tonight to God. That's why you came. I have given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. An ordinance forever, and since we are today's high priest, this ordinance applies to us. We then have access to God's presence or gifts by reason of the anointing. It shall be thine, everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. When I, one of my first jobs out of school was working for Bucyrus Series, a large company that was in South Milwaukee. It is now part of the Caterpillar company. But every Friday, I worked in the employment office, and one of my duties on Friday was to take all of the checks out to the shop. And I had, two boxes of checks that were all single, file in a box, and then I would deliver them to each department. And on Fridays, I was just about the most popular guy in that entire place, because they knew that when you saw that kid, he had the checks, you know. And some of those places, there's one area that was just for grinding. It was probably one of the filthiest places, because they ground the castings and there was black dust everywhere in the place. Those guys would come out and you could hardly see their skin because they were so filled with metal shavings and so forth. And if they didn't get the check, they wouldn't be there. I mean, why would you put up with such a filthy job if you didn't get paid at the end of the thing? Amen. When I came into the church, I started teaching Bible studies, and I taught one man and some of his friends Bible studies on the north side of Milwaukee, Don Johnson. Don Johnson was American Indian. He was a great guy, and the problem was, he'd come to my office almost every week and ask for $20. And the reason he needed $20 is because he got a new job on Monday and he needed gas in order to get to the job. Well, I would ask him, well, what happened to the job that you had last week? Well, you know what? There were some people there that really irritated me. They asked me to do something that I just wouldn't do. One guy looked at me different. I knew he was prejudiced. There was always a reason for quitting the job. And so at Friday, there was no paycheck for him. So he'd make his way up to my third floor office across from the airport to get his $20 so he could start a new job the following Monday. You see, people do things that aren't always enjoyable because they know there's going to be a reward at the end of the week. There's going to be a paycheck, you see? Every day is Christmas with God. Every day there's a new present. Every day there's a reward. Every day there is something that God wants to give each and every one of us. And according to Numbers 18 and 8, God has given us the present of all of the hallowed things, the sacred things that aren't offered to the rest of the world. Gifts of the Spirit, miracles, tongues, healing, prophecies, faith, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Access to the fruit of the Spirit, peace, joy, love, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, weakness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We have the gifts that are piled up and given to us like nobody else gets. These are the real gifts that are distributed every day by God. If you got any peace today, if you got any joy today, it's all part of the reward of serving God in His tabernacle, you see, because of the anointing. Now, not everyone has access. But by reason of the anointing and a clean house, you get the check. Psalm 68 and 19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." So the word doesn't lie. Every day we get something from God. You need to recognize, I got something for God. It's not just one day a year like a lot of people do, but every day, daily, You see, God is blessed or happy when he can reward us for service. He wants to reward us for service. He wants to give things to us. He's the God that is a giving God. We have our own concept of what God should give us, just as our children give us a list as to the things that they want. We ask God for trivial things when he has already given us access to the hallowed things. You know, oh, we'll put that aside, but I want something else. I want to be satisfied with the things that God gives me and offers me from another world. God is about rewarding us for service, not the way the world thinks we reward, but according to his rewards. Would you turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter? Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse number 1, it's Jesus is saying, "Take heed that ye do not your alms or acts of righteousness before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." So if we're doing our thing in order to show people how holy we are and how, you know, religious we are and how, free we are in our worship. Well, you know, you already have your reward. You're not getting anything from God. That's what Jesus is saying. "Therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms or your acts of righteousness, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest or worship, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So, you know, song service just doesn't start and end in this church. It starts in a closet someplace, you know. When you're all alone with God, and then all of a sudden when you walk into this place, it's payday. You get your reward, you know, and some are disappointed because they're not getting a paycheck. But it is for service. Verse number 16 says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure the face, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So many, many places within the scripture, God is saying, you know, I've got a reward for you for something. Not, you know, do you realize you can spoil your children? I've done it, you know, I really have. And when you give something to someone for no reason at all, you know, just because, and God doesn't spoil us. He rewards because of something that we have done and because we are clean in the house of God. I hope you're getting this tonight. God has asked us to refrain from the flesh if we are to get his rewards or his presence. Take a look at Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25 and verse number 18. "A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow confidence in the unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth. Anybody ever have a broken tooth? What a wonderful feeling that is. As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. So confidence in somebody who isn't faithful. Oh, could I give you some advice? Well, do you go to church? Well, not very often. You know, it's like having a broken tooth. No thanks. Keep your advice to yourself, you know. Hallelujah. God's rewards don't always come easy. We must do that which is contrary to the flesh. Give up your rights in order for God to reward you. Look at Luke 6, please. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Wait a minute. Bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that ask of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, this is the golden rule, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much gain. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend hoping for nothing again, and your reward, oh, there's that word again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye have meet with it, shall be measured to you again. So there's a lot in those few verses. I especially like the part about, and you shall have a great reward. I like that part. The other stuff I'm really not so excited about. My nature isn't very excited about. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you. You know, pray for them that despitefully use you. Let them take your coat and everything else and turn the cheek. Let them slap the other cheek. But God's saying, if you will do this, great is your reward. You see, sinners know how to act that way. If you do good to somebody, they'll do good to you. He said, we're not like that. So how badly do you want your reward? I guess that's the question. Do you have an exception to the rule because somebody did something to you or didn't do something for you, and so we have an exception to the rule? We don't have to. But great is your reward if you do it His way. You see, God has set up an incentive program for each and every one of us, a reward system for us to do that which is unnatural for this flesh. And if we do those things that are unnatural, like blessing those that curse you and despitefully use you and say awful things about you, and then you still love them and do good to them, God's saying, you know what, if you'll do that, it's like heaping hot coals on their head. It's sort of a free enterprise system in which we can receive as much reward from God as we want, but we have to do it according to His rule book and not our nature. But only if we do what God's word says, like Numbers 18 and 13, everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it or get the reward. As a pastor, I am charged with the task of motivating people. We come to church. This is a support group. And we heard Sunday night, you know, and I'm talking to pastors and ministers all over the country, and what's happening scares every one of us because there are less people coming to church, especially outside of Sunday mornings. And we recognize that that doesn't do well for your spiritual well-being. And your rewards aren't there. And if your rewards aren't there, if you're not getting a paycheck, why show up? And I think I realize what the problem is there aren't enough people getting paychecks every time they come to church. There aren't enough people feeling the presence of God and seeing God move in their life. And so as a result, God's saying, no paycheck. And so when somebody does do something to you that is improper or it hurts you, you respond not the way Matthew 6 says we should respond, but we respond through the flesh, and then we're not clean in the house of God, and we aren't able to get the hallowed things, the things that God wants to give us. And then all of a sudden, the fruit of the Spirit isn't there. And the gifts of the Spirit aren't in operation, and so we're not seeing as many miracles and healings and things because we're not getting the rewards. And so, you know, as a pastor, I need to motivate people without people getting angry because I'm trying to, you know, get involved in their lives and dictating to them that they got to come to church in order to get the blessing that God wants to give them. And sometimes that gets frustrating. Have you ever talked to your kids and you had to say things over and over and over again and it just, it's not sinking in? There are several ways to motivate people. One of the most popular choices is to threaten people while yelling at them, you know. I know a lot of people prefer that. This will always... almost always get an immediate response, but most always causes people to do just the opposite of what you're asking them to do. You know, you will be here. You know, okay, I heard that. Mm-hmm. So God knows that we all need to have some kind of motivation. I remember I was in the artillery for 6 years, and during that 6 years, I was in B Battery, a division of self-propelled howitzer tanks, and I had two battery commanders. One was Captain Dunlap, and then one was Captain Tretlar. Captain Dunlap was the kind of guy saying, listen, if you don't get this thing right, some of you guys are going to be pulling guard duty at midnight for the next 6 weeks, or you're going to find yourself in the kitchen scrubbing pots. So if you don't get this thing done, you know, yes, sir. But Captain Tretlauer was the kind of guy saying, I know that this battery can go beyond what we're doing. And then when we get the job done and we do it right, we're going to have some good times as well. I'm going to allow you to have some free time. I'm going to get some passes out so you can do some things. And who do you think motivated? You see? And God's not the God that threatens people to do things and you better be here or you're going to be in trouble. But he does it this way. There are rewards. Now, the rewards are yours, but you're not getting a paycheck if you don't show up. Hallelujah. This is good preaching, folks. We all need some motivation. Some motivation, you know. Have one of those services that were just designed for you. There is this holy Shekinah glory of God that just is all over you in the service. And what happens? You're motivated to do more for God and love people. Amen. That's what happened when you received the Holy Ghost. Would you turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse number 6. It says, but without faith, and that word faith is faithfulness, it is impossible to please him. For God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the rewards come to those who seek after God, and they're constantly trying to press into the presence of God. It's not do as little as you possibly can, hang on until Jesus comes. You know what? You won't be able to do that because you don't have enough fortitude in your own flesh in order to hold on. What you need is something from God on a regular basis. The word reward here in the Greek, listen to this. It says pay for service or wages. So God financially blesses those who are diligently seeking him and faithful. God has a paycheck for those who are faithful. Amen. I've had people say that they just aren't coming back to church because something happened that they didn't like or there was somebody that they didn't like. I don't know about you, but I, in every job that I've ever had, have somebody that I didn't care for on the job or something that I didn't like to do on the job. So if we're willing to be on a job that we don't like with people that perhaps we don't care for just because we get a paycheck, how much more should we just be faithful to God's church and faithful to God's word because we know that there's a reward down the road. Hallelujah. And God knows that if we endure some of the things associated with living for God, I'm telling you, there's always going to be a reward, a special presence of God and blessings that we don't expect, a check in the mail, a bonus at the job, whatever. There's all kinds of things that God just gives us, these little things. And we're saying, wait, well, I didn't deserve that. God uses a reward system, a free enterprise of godliness, if you will, to motivate people. I sometimes wonder, how in the world can the denominational churches who don't believe in the Holy Ghost, don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit or a move of God or feeling the presence of God, how do they continue to be faithful to those kind of services when there's no check? But is it just a matter of checking in? I punched in. I didn't expect anything to happen, but I punched in. I've been punching in for years. Psalms 18, would you turn there? Psalms 18 and verse number 20, it says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. So reward and righteousness, oh, righteousness is so old-fashioned these days. and cleanness of my hands. There is a reward. So when people say it's not really that necessary to be faithful, it's not so necessary to have righteousness, it's not so necessary to have clean hands and do what's right, even though it bothers you, you tell them, listen, I'm getting a paycheck. I'm getting a paycheck. Because nobody can reward me like Jesus can reward me. The preacher, I can't heal you. I can't give you a job. I can't give you peace. I can't give you joy. But there is a God that will, based on what his word says, you see. One of the greatest reasons for people not continuing to live for God is because they just haven't been getting a paycheck. And if we are constantly feeling the presence of God and seeing God's hand in our everyday life, it's so easy to live for God. You wake up in the morning, you feel the presence of God, or he drops a scripture into your mind or a song that you're singing all day long. You know, it's so easy to get to church. It's so easy to do the things. It's so easy to tithe. It's so easy to live. It's so easy to have a restrictive life. It's so easy to dress the way you're supposed to dress. It's so easy because the rewards keep coming in. Another paycheck? Are you kidding? But if we back away from God's righteousness, then the rewards stop. And it's a catch-22. And all of a sudden, people thinking, you know what? I didn't feel anything. You know, that guy used to preach really good. Now, it's just not. It's just, I don't know. I don't really get anything out of the preaching anymore. Well, you dummy, you're not getting a paycheck. When the paycheck stopped, no one wants to go to work. No one wants to come to church. Amen. I know I'm using a lot of scripture. Matthew 19, please. Matthew 19 and verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee, and what shall we have therefore? Poor Peter. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 stones, thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Not a bad position. And everyone, that's you and me, that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. So, he's saying there isn't anything that you have given up in order to live for me that I am going to bless you, not just give you what you lost, but 100-fold over. Not reward someday when we get to heaven, but now here on this planet. Here Jesus said, we will lose some things for his namesake. Sometimes it's impossible to hold on to some things and still hold on to God. And God understands that there are some things that you simply have to let go in order to grab a hold of God. But God will never shortchange anybody. There isn't anyone that's ever given up anything for God that he hasn't replaced with something better, bigger. If you lost something because you wanted to do something right, mark it down. He will give it back to you. You will receive it better, bigger. People have taken from me, probably taken from you, but God has always replaced it with something even better. Joseph told his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Job kept his integrity, and God gave him twice what he had lost. I've lost my best friend when I came into the church, but God gave me 100-fold brothers and sisters that are real. You know, it's not just a handshake, how are you? It's a commitment. It's a love. When I came into the church, I lost my old wife, and God gave me, no, he didn't give me 100 new wives. I'm glad for that. He just made the one that I had better, and he made her husband 200 times better than what he was. Glory to God. We'll discuss this later, honey. Ezekiel, the 6th chapter, verse number 1. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men, a man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desires, and yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity or meaningless, and it is an evil disease. How many people do you see who have everything going for them and they're absolutely miserable? And how many have you seen who have very little and the joy of life is just springing out of them all that they're happy all the time, you know? That is a blessing or a reward of God. Revelation 22 and 12 says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man, listen to this, according as his work shall be. So at the end of this whole thing, you know, God's saying, I've got a reward for you. He is a rewarder of those who are faithful and diligently seek him. So the question is, have you gotten your reward lately? Have you gotten your paycheck? Have you gotten all of the goodness, the holy things that God has for his church and exclusively for his church that he doesn't provide for other people? But if we're not clean, if we're not righteous, if we're not faithful, if we're not seeking after God, it seems like the paycheck stops. And then the motivation to live for God just isn't there. But I'm going for the biggest check there is. I'm looking for a bonus this year, folks. Amen, amen. Would you stand with me, please? I've said this before, and it's not to highlight me, but I remember when we had a clock shop, a blind lady came in with a guardian, and she was looking for a clock that chimed on every 15 minutes in the hour because she couldn't see, and she wanted to know what time it was. And I remember delivering this clock to her home to set it up, and it was in the fall time, and it was like 5:30, it was already dark. I went to the door, and she answered the door, and there were no lights on in the house. Well, you know, I had to ask her, could you please turn some lights on so I can see, because she couldn't, you know? And I started talking to her about God, and ironically, not only was she blind, but she couldn't walk, so she's in a wheelchair. And I said, you need to come to church. You know, well, it's difficult, and you'd have to come, and you'd have to take my van, and so I did that. And I remember getting to the foyer of the church. Just got to the foyer of the church. And there was a power of God that fell on me.
maybe sometimes we just don't feel what we need to feel in the house of God because we haven't been extending ourselves. Sunday we have our Christmas program, and there's going to be a lot of young people up on the platform doing their program, and what a perfect opportunity it is to invite somebody and then see what kind of check you get. See what kind of reward there is. I want to kill complacency. Amen. Same thing every Sunday, knowing what's going to happen and not thinking outside the box. But can you imagine that if everyone got a paycheck at the same time, what would happen in this place? Oh God. God, tear it up. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?